And I actually would think, like, she seems like she has no soul. There was this blankness in her eyes. And then she starts twitching. And I remember thinking, it looks like she's fighting something off. And I heard, "You are in the presence of Satan." She's peeking out at me. Her face, her head, her eyes aren't moving. And her bangs are covering her one eye. And it was a masculine voice. And it said, "You ignored the signs and you let me into your house. Your life is now mine." She's loopy. She's like, and then walks up to me and then boom, back to rage. I thought maybe this is a robot or an AI or an alien or the devil incarnate. And when I said that, I heard a whisper in my mind and it went.
Hello and welcome back to the Almost False Podcast, where I interview regular people with incredible stories. Today's story is one that will make the hairs on the back of your head stand up. You know, in the horror movies when they say based on a true story, well, that's a true story. But contrary to the movies, this one ends in a beautiful way, so you want to stick to the end to find out what happened. Now that the stage is set and that you have a little bit of context, let's dive right in and go back to where it all started with today's guest, Brennan. So you grew up as an atheist. You had an experience where you started to believe in God. It lasted just a little bit, and then you went back to being an atheist. And then you started getting these spiritual experiences. And at that point, now you're pretty convinced that there is something more than the natural.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would love to talk about them if you'd like, but there's many things that happened in about a 6 month period where I was taking mushrooms, I was taking Molly, MDMA, I was in marijuana, and things were happening that defied like logic, defied what I thought I understood about space and time. And I realized there is some kind of intelligent force that can manipulate space and time in a way that I can't. And that completely opened me up to either a dimensional higher alien, whatever it is, something more than flesh and bone.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that talk about this. It's becoming somewhat of a trending topic, taking hallucinogens and having these experiences. Joe Rogan has popularized it a lot. But I would love to hear what your experiences were like and what your mindset was. What were you seeking at that point in your life?
I was seeking just truth. It started when I started in these conspiracy theories, and I, you know, a lot of them were leading me away, and a lot of them I believe are true. And I realized there are things unseen, and I realized that a lot of my life I've been lied to, and the status quo, this normal world that I was raised to believe, is not. There are things happening behind the scenes, and I wanted to know what the truth was. What's going on with the world? Who has the power? What are the agendas present? And is there a higher way to live other than this consumerist life that we live? And I thought, if I take these psychedelic drugs, because that's what the psychedelic community says, you'll be enlightened. You'll see things as they're meant to be. You'll connect with the universe. And I wanted that. I wanted to know what the truth was in my purpose.
And did you get enlightened by those mushrooms?
No, I did not. Not at all.
What happened?
I will tell you the first trip I ever had. So I'm at my friend's apartment. It's so we take 2.5 grams, we eat it just plain. And as soon as I get hit by this drug, I feel horrible. It's like that feeling I felt on marijuana times 10. It felt like a million little eyes were watching me and like I was some puppet. And I saw, like, I didn't see spirits, but I saw spiritual forces behind things. Like my friend's, it was at his girlfriend's house, and her father had these heavy metal rock posters with demons and zombies. And I could feel the evil from that. Behind that. And just, I felt darkness all around me. I felt no light. I didn't feel any positive thing. I felt like there's a curse that is abiding on this earth. And then I get this voice in my head that tells me that because I've done, and I'm very high, right? And so you're not grounded when that happens. And this voice tells me, because I've done this drug, I opened a chemical portal. A dimensional portal. And if I jump off the 10-story balcony and kill myself, my body will die, but my spirit will ascend with the sacred Illuminati. And if I don't pass this test, if I don't kill myself, the doors will close forever and I have minutes to decide. And if I don't do it, I'll live. And then when I die, it's lights out. I've missed my chance at immortal life.
And that was your biggest fear. You were very scared of death. And so that voice attacked. What was your biggest fear? And how was your reaction to that?
I considered it very seriously. And I just eventually came to that decision because I was panicked, right? I had minutes to decide. I just said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And when I said that, I heard a whisper in my mind and it went, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ.
And you didn't believe in Jesus or the Bible at that time?
You hear, maybe he was a prophet. Who knows? Maybe he was enlightened, but I didn't believe the biblical narrative of who Jesus.
Yes, that's what a lot of people in the New Age community talk about, the Christ consciousness. You start to hear that more and
yeah,
more.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and what happened after that trip? Because it's my understanding that it didn't stop there.
I wish it did, but I was like, okay, it's a bad trip. You hear about bad trips, so I kept going, and. At this time, I also was having just weird synchronicities happen. And a synchronicity, if someone watching doesn't know, is essentially it's like a coincidence. The most innocent example I could give is I would be like, I really want a taco. And then like a taco truck would go by instantly. And it's just like, oh, okay, weird. But that was happening a lot. And it would happen when I was sober, when it was happening when I was high. And it started to... like I was getting paranoid, and a lot of it was just because I was taking a lot of drugs quickly. I was taking mushrooms and Molly like 1 week after another, and I was making myself not stable, my consciousness. Mm-hmm. I was kind of making myself vulnerable. And so it would be like the TV talking. One example I'll give you that disturbed me, that I think I know what this is now, is I was at that same apartment and I was just smoking weed. And I just felt like my thoughts, the Family Guy was on the TV, and I would just like think something and it would just sound like whatever Stewie said was answering my thought. And it was just weird, and I'm sure it was nothing. But then all of a sudden, my friend's girlfriend's dad and his girlfriend are in the kitchen talking. And I started like thinking out loud, can you hear me? To the TV. Oh, I didn't think it out loud. I thought it. You can't think out loud. I thought it in my head.
Yeah, in your head.
And then he said, yes. And then I thought, you're telling me you can hear me right now. And he popped his head out and looked at me and was like, yep. And then popped his head back in and continued his conversation. And I was like, I was tripping. Like, what's going on?
So telepathy in the real world.
And there's a physical sign. Like, it's not like I heard a voice in my head. This man who I know looked at me and he was like giggly. Like, he was like laughing at me like, oh, yeah. We hear you. That's what I felt.
That must have been so weird.
Yes, it sucked.
So I want to ask, because you did a lot of drugs and a lot of mushrooms, what was the worst trip you've ever had?
There's one that isn't as much of a trip, and maybe I'll get to that one, but there is one that I would like to say it was the highest I ever was. I was at my house, and I had ate some mushrooms and took a weed edible, and I was very high. And I started hearing voices in my head. I was with my friend and he left and I was alone. And I heard these voices because, again, I was getting into all these conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And a lot of ones that were answering the questions, what is reality? What are we after death? I'm talking the Matrix, alien experiment, reptilian shapeshifters, like these kinds of wild ones. Mm-hmm. And I hear these voices that tell me that I am an experiment, that like the reptilians are in space and they put my DNA with a human DNA and they've been monitoring me and I'm theirs, and that I'm very special and important and powerful and they want to use me for good and I should join them. I've found them. And all of these thoughts in my head, and then I just see this picture of this insectilian female demon screaming at me, and like I saw her quickly flash in front of my face. And then I started hearing this voice that was feminine, it felt like this is a girl. And it was telling me that time on the apartment building when you didn't kill yourself, you failed the test, but because you're so special, we're giving you a second test. And it said, there is a car that we have brought for you, waiting for you outside. We want you to go get in it. And if you get in it, you will die. And we have to tell you, because it's a cosmic law, you will die, but you might ascend. If you earn it, you might ascend, but you will die. So I walk outside, and there's a car in the middle, like 2 a.m. in my suburban street, sitting in front of my house on the road with its engine on, just sitting there. And I walk up to it, and I'm in the rain. And I remember the grass felt like needles on my feet as I'm standing there, a foot in front of the car, tinted windows. And I'm like deciding again, if I get in this car, I'm going to die if I get in. And I guess I took too long to decide. I was standing there probably 5 minutes. All of a sudden, the car shuts off. A man gets out, lights a cigarette, takes one puff, looks at me and says, good night. And then starts sprinting away.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what to make of that looking back. That was my experience.
That's quite the gamble they asked you. You give your life and you might ascend.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier when I asked you the question about your biggest trip, there was another event, but you said it wasn't a trip. What was it?
It was like I had done a little bit of Molly and I was coming down. There was drugs in my system, but I wasn't like very high, you know?
And you know what that is because you've done a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. I know how to weigh it out. And I took a small dose and then the high was over. I was coming down. So this is the night that the devil offered me to sell my soul.
How did that work?
I had met a girl. This was like a week after I finished school. And I just met a girl in my class. I barely knew her, talking to her a little bit. And then I was just like, I invited her to my house because I wanted to sleep with her. And she was like, okay. And you know how teenagers do. Yeah. And there was always something off about this girl. And I actually would think like, she seems like she has no soul. Like something was off. There was this blankness in her eyes. And every time she would send me a Snapchat, only one of her eyes would be showing on the screen. And that's a very common occult symbol used in Luciferian cults and mass media. And so I knew this. And so when I would see it, I would be a little disturbed, but I was just like, okay, whatever. Like she's probably just too anxious to show her full face. So I invite her over and I take a light dose of Molly and we don't have sex, but we're just in my room and we're just laying there in the Molly starts to wear off. And so what happens when you take Molly, you get a strong euphoric sense. And then when it wears off, you kind of get depressed. It's like your serotonin goes double and then half. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially like you're stealing your happiness from tomorrow. And so as I was coming down, I started to feel bad. She was laying in front of me and she froze like a computer that shut down. She was still, but her eyes were wide open like that. Not blinking, not moving, just like stuck in time. And I'm thinking like, what's going on? And then she starts twitching aggressively, like twitching her arms. And I remember thinking, it looks like she's fighting something off. And then as soon as I thought that, all of a sudden, this horrible presence came over the room. And when I'm talking evil, you could feel it. When I talked about that feeling of things being wrong, times a million. And I heard, you are in the presence of Satan. And I realized that she had been possessed. Or maybe she was always the devil, but now she revealed herself. I didn't know. But all I knew was something horribly spiritually evil is inside of that girl. And I am like freaking out.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And I don't leave the house. This is the middle of the night. And the reason is because all of those things that happened, there was a few more events, cars pulling up to me and people getting out and asking me if I want to get in, stuff like this, weird stuff. I felt I'm not any safer outside. Okay. The government, they got whatever, they got surveillance things in space. If I'm something's happening here, I'm not going out there. So I was just literally waiting, and all I look up, I can see up my stairs into my room, and she's now peeking out at me like this.
Something you see out of horror movies.
It's exactly like that. And that was my first thought. I literally thought, they're basing horror movies off true stories. Like, who would have known?
So you lived a horror movie.
Literally.
You lived a horror movie story. That's incredible.
Yeah. So great. No, I'm joking. it sucks. So she's like putting on her clothes as she's peeking out at me. Her face, her head, her eyes aren't moving. Her body is slowly moving. And she stands up and she starts limping towards the stairs. And I'm talking like limping. Like she doesn't have anything in her one leg. She's dragging it, limping. And her bangs are covering her one eye. And for 1 second when she was possessed, did I see both of her eyes. One eye was covered the whole time. And I knew this was a demonic symbol.
And that girl also came, when she came over, she wasn't limping. She was fine.
She's just a normal girl. She's a normal teenage girl. Yeah. And her eyes didn't blink once. The one eye, it didn't take off eye contact with me. And the soulless expression in that eyeball, I could never replicate. There was no soul in that body. It was blank. It was empty. And it was staring through me. And she's limping down my stairs, staring at me, just looking at me, walking down my stairs. And I'm like, literally, I thought, this is how you go. It couldn't have been from some kind of disease as an old person. You had to get murdered by Satan in your house at 19 years old. But whatever, I'm freaking done, man. I'm done. You got me. That was like what I was thinking. And she limps up to me about 4 feet from me. She hasn't said a word all night. It's probably been like 10 minutes she's been possessed. And then I hear her voice in my head that is so clear. Like somebody put a straw in my ear and whispered into my brain. And I could tell that this was a sentient being outside. This wasn't me. I could hear it speaking into me. And it was a masculine voice. And it said, you ignored the signs and you let me into your house. Your life is now mine. But you can have it back. And you can live a long life. But then when you do die, your soul is mine. And I instantly knew the signs were all those pictures of her with that one eye. And I ignored it. And I thought back. Like, 'cause she's just standing right in front of me, blank stare, like this, as this voice is talking. I think back. I said, I need 5 minutes to decide. And I hear in my head, okay. And on cue, she turns around without saying anything, limps into the kitchen, turns the corner. I walk into my living room and I'm making a decision. Do I make a deal with the devil? You always hear about that in pop culture, right? But it's real. And I knew there were spiritual forces and I knew there was wicked spiritual forces. And I had to decide. And I want to share my thought process. I realized two things. If the devil is real, then so is God.
Yeah.
I know the devil's real. I have physical proof right now in front of me. So there has to be a God. And if the devil's trying to get me to sell my soul, doesn't that mean my soul's currently with God?
That makes sense.
And these revelations hit me. And I decided that I'm not going to take this deal, even though I didn't know exactly. Like, I didn't know the devil as Lucifer, the fallen angel. I just, bad spiritual guy. The evil that I felt, and it felt like just death and blood and torture. Like it felt like the air felt like that. I can't be with that evil forever. I won't go with that evil forever. It's wrong. And as I'm thinking this, I hear in my head, hurry up. And she's peeking out at me. And I said,
bro, like,
shut up. Give me 5 minutes, man. This is a big deal. And then just like, So you went limping away. Good. And I just knew that I can't go with that evil. And so I walked outside and I wanted to take one last breath of fresh air before I faced my biggest fear, was death. I just had to face it. There was no escaping it now.
Because the deal he gave you was you either die now or you live forever and your soul is mine. Is that correct? Did I understand that right?
Yeah. Not live forever, just like you live a long
life. You live your life normally, and then when you die, your soul is mine. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And I believe that, like, that was legitimate. I could have accepted that, and I'm sure some people in the world have made deals with the devil, and so that was tough. So I'm outside, I'm on my porch, my door's shut, all my windows in my house are shut, 2 a.m., my door is shut, she's now limping around my hallway in my living room. There is no possible way a human being could have heard me whispering, because I was outside of my house. But I whispered after my final breath, "I make no deal with the devil." And the second I said that, she started screaming, and she burst into an out of this world fit of wrath and rage, and her face changed immediately from blank and empty to full of hate. And she spoke out of her mouth, and she looked at me through my window, and she said, "No, no." And that masculine rasp was in her voice, and she was screaming the F word. Rah, rah. And I felt a demonic energy attached to that word. And I said, "Of course, this popular word is, that's words from hell." And she looks at me through the window after like 10, 15 seconds of screaming. And she says, "Go home." And she is pointing and saying, "Go home. Home is that way." And so I look down the street, and I'm thinking, I'm outside, I need to walk down the street. So I'm kind of like backing up from the door. I'm on my lawn. I'm like, what's going on? It's impossible that a human could have heard that. There is no doubt this is real. And I'm like, what is she talking about? Or he, or whatever that is. Go home. Like, and then she comes outside and she is not angry anymore. She's loopy. She's like, ha, 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 ha. And she like looks up this red car parked beside my house, and she's like, "I love that color." And she's like this, and she walks onto the street and then walks up to me and then boom, back to rage right in my face, and says, "I said go home." And then back to loopy. Oh, happy to see you. Walking around. I'm like, okay, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to walk that way, and then I'm going to die, and then home is what happens when I die. Okay. And so I start walking. And thank God I put my flip-flops on, because I wasn't barefoot at least. So I'm walking, and she starts following me, and she's like loopy following me. And I was like, come on, like, are you kidding me? Like, she's got to be following me. And then, like, she's following me for like 30 seconds. And then she's like, "I actually forgot something." And she turns around and she walks away. Like, she's not limping now. She's like this. And she walks into my house. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? I lived with my parents. They were like out of town. They're coming back the next day. This is on them now. Okay, I've got cats. Hopefully they're still alive by then. This is out of my hands. Like, she's there. I'm going that way. And I thought I was going to die. And I was thinking maybe, I don't know what was going to happen. I was going to walk and somebody would come and shoot me, because it's happened. Like, where that time with the car. And then it was another time when a taxi pulled up and a guy got out and was kind of like threatening me. And so I was like, okay, like, there's some kind of secret. I knew at this point that there are elites in society that are working with demonic spiritual forces, and they are getting power and influence because of these demonic spiritual forces, and they are in rituals, and they are doing horrible satanic things in the occult secretly, and they own the world, and they run the show, and they're with the devil. And so I knew that at this point, at least this is what my belief. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so one of them is going to come kill me, right? Whatever. Or, and I was hoping like, maybe I'm going to get sacrificed, like on a, put up on a cross or something myself. Hopefully not, but what can you do? And I go on this long walk for like 3 hours in the middle of the night. I'm just walking and I'm just like waiting to die. And I was just repeating to myself, I made no deal with the devil. I made no deal with the devil. I made no deal with the devil, because I knew there was power in those words because of what happened when I said them. Eventually, I'm tired. So I sit down at some random house's porch on their rocking chair, and I'm just rocking back and forth, waiting to die or something. And at that point I didn't care about trespassing, so I should, you know, what can you do when you're in that situation?
Well, I mean, you thought you were gonna die anyway, so that was probably the least of your worries.
Yeah, that was the least of my worries. And eventually it's like probably 5 a.m I hear these birds chirp, and I felt this like spiritual shift, like this click. And it was like the first time I've ever felt any positive spiritual feeling. Just like, by spiritual, I'm just talking about something you can't explain. Beyond your emotions, beyond your touch, just this energy. And I heard, you did ignore the signs and invite the devil to your house, and you gave him permission into your house. But that doesn't mean you gave him permission to kill you. You just gave him permission to come in your house. And when he came with deceit, because he's the deceiver. And he tried to trick you into making a deal with him. And you said no, and you passed the test, and you can go home. So I'm like, okay, say no more. I run home. I open the door. And this girl is now there. She is not possessed, but she's terrified. She doesn't know where she is. It takes her minutes to remember my name. She has no idea what happened. I would highly assume that she blacked out. Her last memory would have been being on the bed, and all of a sudden she's in this house alone in the middle of night. And what she had left for me when she was possessed, I walk in my kitchen, there's milk, eggs, cheese, crackers all over the floor, like emptying my shelves and throwing food on the floor. So she would have, that would have been there as she comes to consciousness. And then she recorded a half an hour video on my phone when she was possessed, and I deleted it. I deleted it that night because there was so much demonic energy around it. So I don't have it. And a lot of people call me a liar for that, but what can you do?
I mean, I would have done the same thing. I don't blame you. Like, if I had a video like that on my phone of a demon possessed girl, I would not keep that on my phone. So I don't blame you one second.
Thank you. So in this video, she was just like dancing like this. She put on Cardi B on the YouTube. And she's like dancing like this as she's possessed, looking at the camera. And then she comes to the camera and she grabs a lighter and she grabs some marshmallows and she comes this close to the camera and is singeing the marshmallows to a crisp, looking in the camera like this with one eye, singeing marshmallows, throwing it away, grabbing another one, singeing the marshmallow.
Did she see that video, that the girl after the fact? Did you show it to her?
Maybe while I was gone. I didn't show it to her.
Okay.
So she's now a terrified girl who has no idea what's going on. And in my mind, you know, I have compassion for her, but I'm also like, what if this, like, I didn't know this was a human being who was possessed by a demon. I thought maybe this is a robot or an AI or an alien or the devil incarnate. I didn't know what reality was. So I thought maybe this is an evil being in this innocent body who's playing like scared to try and trick me.
Because you had been tricked already, so it's reasonable to think that maybe it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I just don't know. Anything's possible. So I keep my distance, but I'm like talking to her. I'm like, I'm Brennan. Like, do you remember anything? And she's like, no. And so basically, I like take her upstairs and I like put her to bed, and I'm just kind of testing her. I'm just kind of like asking questions, but she seems to just be this girl I know who's now like doesn't know what the heck just happened. And I just like put her to bed. I go downstairs and I put on a movie. It's like 5:30 a.m. Sun's starting to rise a bit. And I just try and like watch a movie to not fall asleep because I don't want to go to sleep with her there. And then I figured in the morning I'll send her home. And then I like doze off and I wake up at like 8 a.m. to her coming down my stairs. It's normal. She was a very anxious and quiet girl, very reserved. So I just kind of look at her and I'm like, hey, and she's like, hey. And I'm like, I'm going to give you some bus money and walk you to the bus stop and send you home. She's like, okay. And I did that. And that was that.
I have no words. I don't know what to say. This is the like one of the most insane stories I've heard. And I've heard stories. But the fact that you saw that in the natural world, the way that we can all see things, it's just mind-boggling. So what happened after that? There's no way that that happened and then your life stayed the same after.
It kind of did. Because my life was already, like at this point, I had been doing a lot of drugs and I was literally in a drug-induced psychosis. I was soon to become schizophrenic. I was hearing voices and it would happen when I was smoking weed mostly. And so at the point that night happened, I had already quit weed for a month because I was hearing voices in my head when I smoked. But I still sometimes would just hear little voices and I was so out of touch with reality. I believed going up to that point that like we were in some kind of soul trap, that some alien species either from another planet or another dimension has trapped us and is like sucking our life force and then traps us in an eternal reincarnation. I was constantly finding new theories and all of them basically revolved around the fact that we are eternally trapped, that the eternal state that we have destined is something bad, because that was always my greatest fear. And I was constantly with barrages and I'd be like, do all humans go to hell? And then I hear a TV at a gas station, or not a gas station, I guess, but whatever, a restaurant. The news. Yes. Yes, we do. Like, that's what the reporter's saying in a completely different conversation right after I had thought that. That was happening constantly. So I was already pretty gone. Like, if I'd continued there, I would have probably ended up in a mental hospital. So although this was the craziest thing, I was still like, what is going on? What's happening in the world? I kind of went back to normal because my normal was a drug-induced psychosis.
Bro, that's insane. That is insane. Okay.
I can tell you, a lot of people wonder this. I can tell you this about if I ever saw that girl again.
Yeah.
I saw her one more time. A week after that, I think this was like, the event happened a week before school ended. It was June 20th. So like a week after that, it's one of the last days of school. And I'm like, hey, like, I'll walk you home from school. And I didn't mention anything. I was kind of poking. I was like, so like, do you remember that night? And she was just kind of like quiet, like playing kind of like hard to get. She was like, yeah, wouldn't really answer my questions. But I didn't say, hey, look, I think you got possessed. I think this happened. I was just kind of like normal. And then I just like, remember, I was like, she got home and I was like, I shook her hand and I'm like, I am thinking in my head, like, I am never going to see you again. And then I'm like, okay, see ya. And that was the last time I've ever seen her.
I would actually love to hear what she knows about the story. I don't know if I have any way to contact her, but
I did contact her. I texted her.
Yeah.
A year and a half later, maybe 2 years later. And I was completely blunt. I texted her and I said, hey, you remember that night? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I think this happened. I think you got possessed. And she was like offended. She like texted me back and she was like, how dare you? I was not possessed. And I was like talking to her about God. And I was like, I think there's, a couple months after the event, I saw a Snapchat video she posted on her story and she looked possessed in that video. I looked at her face in it and I was like, that's the demon. And she went to the camera and did this. And that was her story. And I was like, okay. So obviously this is something that's happening. There's like, this isn't just a one-time event. This girl has this infestation. So I like texted her and I'm like, hey, like, I really believe God can give you freedom from these things. And she was like, how dare you tell me about God? I'm a Christian and you don't know me. And then like, she was very hostile and she was like, screw you, man. And I was like, okay.
Okay. So let's backtrack to the experience you had, because it went into God. So there's a part in between that we missed. So what happened after?
Yeah. So one detail I forgot to mention that night. As I was walking and I thought I was going to die, I said, Jesus Christ, I accept you as Lord and Savior. And the reason I said that was because I knew the gospel on a surface level. Like I've heard about it. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. I understood that, you know, a lot of lukewarm Christianity was around us in like in Ontario, whatever. I knew that. And so I was basically like, oh, like a formality. If I'm going to die, I have to accept you first, Jesus, right? That's how this thing works. Okay, I accept you. Cool. It wasn't genuine or authentic in any way. But what I did genuinely do is I remembered the Bible verse that says, Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. And anyone who opens the door, he will come in and he will dine with us. And I misremembered it. I thought it was Jesus stands at the door and anyone who knocks, he will let in. So I said, I looked to the sky and I said, I knock on the door. Jesus, will you reveal yourself to me? God, will you reveal yourself to me? And that was very, very authentic. And the Bible says, all who seek shall find God if they seek with a whole heart. It's a promise, but it's a conditional promise. And because of my drug-induced psychosis and all of these horrible demonic things and all of this, I was absolutely seeking with my whole heart. And that prayer, when I asked God to reveal himself, was genuine. And it took God 30 days, and he did reveal himself to me.
How did that work? What happened?
So I was in my room. This is 1 month later, July 31st, 2019. And I wanted to share about my experiences and I wanted to share about the things I was learning about society. But I believed that I would be killed. Basically, the vibe I was getting was there's a secret order running the world and it stays a secret because those who find out about it either join, keep their mouth shut, or get a bullet in their head. That was what I was under the impression. So I was scared. And I actually just decided, I was so driven to the edge. And because that night the devil came, I faced death, my biggest fear. I looked death in the eyes and I didn't budge. I had a remarkable relief from that fear of death. Something about coming face to face with death can actually make you more comfortable with it. It's like,
yeah, it happens with a lot of people.
Yeah. So I was like ready. I was ready. And now it's like, so I'm going to share about my experiences. And so I started writing and I wrote like 150 page like testimonial of all my experiences and all my different theories and things I've learned. And a lot of it is just like whack. And I look back and I'm like, this is crazy. But I was sharing and I'm writing in my room. It's like 10 o'clock and I wanted to look up how to spell Jesus's name in Hebrew. Because remember, I mentioned Jesus that night when I heard his voice. But I thought, if I'm going to say Jesus, I'm going to say it how he actually was called, which was by his Hebrew name, Yeshua HaMashiach. So I Google this and a song pops up and I click it. And it's this like folk song, Yeshua HaMashiach. And the instruments play and the lyrics come and then a picture of Jesus comes on screen. And all of a sudden I start to feel power coursing through my veins. And it takes about 3 seconds for me to be normal, to me to be engulfed in this power, thinking, what is this energy? And then it took another 3 seconds for me to come to a full revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord. I knew instantly this power is Jesus. And I knew the spirit of Jesus Christ just descended upon me. I physically felt like I was flying and like I was burning with this glory fire. And in my heart, I felt so much love flood into me, just like that dream I had when I was 12. I felt so cared for and precious and valuable. And I realized instantly, I didn't see anything, I didn't smell anything, but I felt it. And the presence of Jesus was more real than my hand, than the skin on my bones, than my walls. All of this felt like a dream, felt like some fake physical little thing. But the Spirit of Christ, and I knew it was Christ, was the truth. And I realized the reason I exist, the purpose for my life, the destiny of my soul, is one reason. I was made to be with God. He made me to be his son. And so he could be my father, to live with him, in him, abiding with him in fellowship. That's why I exist. But my whole life, I have been separated from God, and I knew it. And I knew why. It was because of my sin. And I wasn't like a Bible student. I'm sure I heard Jesus died for your sins, but I did not get it. But I got it instinctively in that moment. I have been separated by God from God. There's been a barrier because of my sins. He is holy and he is just. I am impure and I am cursed. And he, that holy, just God, cannot enter this cursed being because he must remain pure. But then I realized that barrier of sin was shattered because of the blood of the precious Lamb of God. That when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he took my sins. He broke the barrier. And because I put my faith in Jesus in that moment and I repented of my sins, that barrier was broken. Jesus took my sins and I was returned to God. And I knew it was not only in that moment, but it was for the rest of my life. But even more important, it was forever. I was going to spend eternity with the lover of my soul. And oh, when I tell you, I'm rejoiced in that. There's nowhere greater. There is no love on earth that could slightly compare to the love that God has for each one of us. And I was reconciled with my Father. And forever, I would be with him. Because of Jesus. And it was just instinctual. I felt it. I was on fire. I felt like I was in heaven. It just came on me out of nowhere.
Because you didn't know all these things beforehand. You weren't a Bible scholar. You didn't grow up in a Christian home. You didn't go to church. You didn't know any of these things. You knew, like you said, the basic gospel that most people know, but a little bit about Jesus and not too much else. And so it's nothing that you could have known beforehand. And all of a sudden, you get everything kind of downloaded into your head.
Yeah. And my first instinct, I remember, in my mind, I said two things. I said, Jesus, is that you? And I knew it was. And I heard like this lovely, comforting, like, yes. And my instinct was, do you forgive me? My instinct was to repent. And like you just said, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's a crucial aspect of coming to Jesus, but it poured out of me. Do you forgive me? I am a sinner. And he said, yes. Every sin I've ever committed and ever will commit is gone. He took it. And that moment is the moment that it transferred.
And your life has remained like this ever since?
I was changed overnight. I'd never done a drug since. I was born again. I had a new spirit. The Bible says that we're born spiritually dead. And when we come to Christ, he pours his spirit in us. And that's exact. And then I read that in the Bible and I said, well, that's exactly what I experienced. I felt his spirit pour into me. And I was filled with the presence of Jesus and I was on fire. I wanted to tell the world the truth is Jesus. The only truth that matters, Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Almost False Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to leave a like and subscribe for more interviews like this. If you found this content valuable, please share it with a friend. It really helps us out a lot and hopefully it will help them too. If you want to be on the show, you can go to almostfalse.net and submit your story there. We would love to hear from you. With that being said, I hope you have a great rest of your day and stay blessed.